Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 28th, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Revelation chapter 11. Aha, gotcha. We are there by way of Joel chapter 1, verse 15. So, Revelation 11, by way of Joel chapter 1, verse 15. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven, that spiritual food that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is a letter from Jim Myers, James F. Myers Ministries, sharing the Word of God with the people of the Ukraine. It was many years ago now that the Lord Jesus Christ guided Jim Myers to go to the Ukraine. He did that because there was tremendous positive volition in the people there at God Consciousness. He went there and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people all over the Ukraine believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many of those men were given the gift of pastor teacher. So Jim Myers started a Bible school there and prepared those pastors for the ministry. And they now are pastoring churches all over the Ukraine, right in the middle of this satanic war started by Russia against them. They did nothing to provoke this. This is totally evil on the part of the Russians. And Jim, he's in his 80s now. He left the Ukraine and is right now back in Houston. But he keeps in touch with believers and pastors and the Bible school there in the Ukraine. And so here's an update. It was written February 24th, and that is the one-year anniversary of the unprovoked Russian attack on the Ukraine. He says, we are grieved by the death and the destruction inflicted on the Ukrainian people. Tens of thousands have been killed. Millions have been displaced. And entire cities have been reduced to rubble. And there is no end in sight. There is so much talk in our media about the U.S. involvement in this conflict. The divide over this issue is great. Many agree with our financial support and supply of weapons to Ukraine. Others believe that we have no responsibility to help the Ukrainians and that we should not be spending so much to help a country so far away. Regardless of where you stand on this issue, let me try to give a different perspective, a spiritual perspective. We, as individuals, cannot change the politics of any of this. We may be vociferous in stating our position, but there is little we can do about it except to write to our representatives in Congress. But we can do something in the spiritual realm. We can pray for the people in the Ukraine. We can intercede at the throne of grace for the Christians there who are suffering. We can pray for their protection, for the supply of material things that are in desperately small supply in many areas. We can pray for believers to stand firm in their faith, which is being tested severely. Many of our people in the Ukraine are taking this trial of their faith as an intensified opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of our pastors make trips to the front lines to take food, clothing, and other material things to help the brave men who are fighting for their homeland, for their wives, their children, their parents. They are taking the gospel to the soldiers who are not saved. And they are teaching the word of God to believers who need to be strengthened in their faith. Other Christians are ministering to refugees in different ways. They provide spiritual food along with physical food. They give comfort through Scripture. They demonstrate the love of God to total strangers who are fearful, bewildered, and suffering. We get reports of those who are ministering to those who have just become widows or who have lost their fathers, their brothers, their sons, their friends. We must focus on the spiritual. Pray that many will be brought to faith in Jesus Christ in this time of tribulation. Let us not forget that we can minister to our brothers and sisters in Christ through prayer and through material means. Our God is able to make all things work together for good. There is no political solution, only spiritual solutions. May we seek to glorify God in our lives here, even as fellow members of the family of God seek to glorify God in the Ukraine. Also, pray for the Russian soldiers, that they can find the salvation that has been provided through our Lord Jesus Christ. All by His grace. Jim Myers. All right. We're in Revelation 11 by way of Joel chapter 1 verse 15. Tuesday night we are in the book of Joel. Joel 1:15 says, "Woe." That's not W-H-O-A. That's W-O-E. "Woe with respect to that day, because the day of the Lord near." There is no verb which emphasizes what is being stated. The day of the Lord near. In fact, it will come as devastation and destruction from the Almighty God. Well, at that, I decided we're going to do a study of what the God-breathed Scriptures has to say about this day of the Lord. In fact, the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. And all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, the day of the Lord comes up book after book after book. All throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, and then in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, chapters 6 to 19, those chapters are the chapters of the tribulation period, which is a part of the day of the Lord. You see, the day of the Lord is not just one day, 24-hour day. The day of the Lord includes the 7-year tribulation period. Now we are living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. It concludes with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. We're living in the church age. Following the rapture, following the resurrection of the royal family of God, and that removes every single believer from the earth at the rapture. That begins the day of the Lord then. The day of the Lord begins after the rapture, after the end of the church age. It begins with the 7-year tribulation period. That's the first part of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord also includes the second advent of Jesus Christ. And third, the day of the Lord includes the millennial kingdom. The 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. So it actually covers 1,007 years. That's the day of the Lord. Some passages emphasize the 7-year tribulation and the second advent of Christ. Other ones emphasize the blessings of the millennial reign of Christ on Earth. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. First in judgment, in a world in rebellion against Him, and then to establish His kingdom on this earth. On this earth, perfect blessing, perfect environment, perfect prosperity, perfect health. The lion will lie down with the lamb, not to eat it, but as a friend. The 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. On this earth. So, all those global warming people, they miss this one. There's going to be perfect environment after the tribulation when all the buttons are pushed. And after that 7-year tribulation and war and destruction of people, judgment, then the second advent, and then the millennial reign of Christ, perfect prosperity, blessing, perfect righteousness, perfect justice in the day of the Lord. Now all of this is included in the phrase, the day of the Lord. So we started out, and we're going through the Old Testament and looking at different books that talk about the day of the Lord. We started out with the book that we are studying on Tuesday night, Joel. And Joel's description of the day of the Lord is that it is a time, first of all, of great devastation and destruction. And we saw that in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Joel also describes the day of the Lord as a time of great cosmic and supernatural events. Joel 2:10, he says, the earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and the moon are darkened, the stars no longer shine. He taught this in Joel 2:30 and 31, as well as Joel 3:15 and 16. Third, Joel describes the day of the Lord as a time of judgment. Joel 3:1 and 2, Joel 3:12 to 14. And Joel also describes the day of the Lord as a time of great ecstatics and celebration for the remnant of believers who go into the millennial kingdom. Now you say, I thought you said that at the rapture all believers are removed. Yes, they are. But in that 7-year period, there will be many people who will place their faith in Jesus Christ, and they will be delivered by Jesus Christ when he comes back at the second advent, and they will go into the millennial kingdom. They are the remnant. Now, how did they hear the gospel? Well, God has crisis evangelism. It has to be crisis evangelism. It's in the tribulation, for God's sake. Crisis evangelism. Elijah and Moses, they will be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And they do such a fantastic job that the ruler of the planet Earth at that time is the Antichrist, the leader of the revived Roman Empire, but in the last 3.5 years, the leader of planet Earth. And he will hate God's servants who communicate the grace gospel and try every way to kill them. Won't work. God's going to protect them and keep them alive until that last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation is over, and the whole world hears the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. There will also be 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. So between those 144,000 super evangelists and Elijah and Moses, the world will hear the gospel again and again and again, and many will believe in Christ. Now, many of those who believe in Christ will be put to death by the Antichrist, the people of the earth, but there will be those who will survive, and that's the remnant who will go into the millennial kingdom. And that's Joel 2:28 and 29. This refers to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. In the millennial kingdom, there will be an outpouring of God the Holy Spirit on all people, because the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. So the tribulation begins with unbelievers only. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only. And God the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all the people, regardless of age, gender, or social class, and they will exercise prophetic gifts, prophecy. They will dream dreams. They will see visions. The Old Testament scriptures stress the importance of preparing for this day of the Lord, because God's judges, justice and judgment are absolutely certain. God says what he means in his word, and God means what he says. So we studied Joel's description of the day of the Lord. Then secondly, we went to Obadiah and studied Obadiah's description of the day of the Lord. And he says it will be a time of judgment upon all the nations of planet Earth. Obadiah, verse 15. God's judgment will come on all nations who rebel in arrogance against him. And this judgment will take place in the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent in glory. The third description of the day of the Lord was in Malachi. Malachi stresses the unbearable judgments and purging that the day of the Lord will bring on all unbelievers, as well as the healing and joy it will bring to believers. And we studied several passages, Malachi 3, 2 through 6. We noted that the day of the Lord will be a day of judgment on the whole world. It will be a day of disaster and death. And Malachi says in Malachi 3, 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Again in Malachi 3, 2, he says, who can stand when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, appears? And the answer is, no unbeliever will endure. All unbelievers will be judged and put to death. They will be removed from the earth. They will be incarcerated in Hades, called torments, and they will be held there until the second resurrection, when they will be resurrected and come before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And then after that great white throne judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire. The Lord's coming will purify Israel by purging out every unbelieving Jew. Malachi 3:5, Malachi 4:1, Amos 5:18-20. I asked you a question. Will this judgment bring about the end of the nation Israel? Will every Jew be consumed by the refiner's fire? And the answer is no, Malachi 3:6. And we know this from the 4 unconditional covenants to Israel, which guarantee that all Israel will not be destroyed. All unbelieving Jews will be destroyed and removed from the earth. But those who place their faith in Jesus Christ in that 7-year tribulation period, who respond to the grace gospel from Elijah and Moses and the 144,000 super evangelists, they will be delivered and go into the millennial kingdom. So in the tribulation, there will be crisis evangelism. Crisis evangelism from the 2 witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation 14, 1-5. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Malachi says, behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay, get this closer. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Actually, it doesn't say to their children. Turn the hearts of the fathers to children. In other words, the adults will have childlike faith, and in childlike faith, believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the hearts of the children to their fathers, the children will follow the lead of their parents and also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. This is for crisis evangelism. And there will be those in Israel who will place their faith in Jesus Christ. And there will be people from all over the world who will place their faith in Jesus Christ from this crisis evangelism. So, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 introduces the 2 witnesses, and that is amplified in great detail in Revelation chapter 11, and that's where we are. So, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. In Revelation 11, 1 and 2, tells us that a temple will be reconstructed and operating in Israel during the tribulation period. And in the first half of the tribulation, Orthodox Jews will offer sacrifices according to the Mosaic law during the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years. However, the last half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, the sacrifices will stop and the temple will be desecrated. The last 3.5 years, which is also sometimes described in the scriptures as 42 months, 42 months is 3.5 years, 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years, they're all saying the same thing. The abomination of desolation will take place in the temple. Daniel 9:27 and Matthew 24:15-21. The temple will become a shrine for the world dictator of the great tribulation, the Antichrist, who will put an idol in it and then proclaim himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, Revelation 13, 11-18, and he will demand that the world worship him as God. If they don't worship him as God, if they don't take the mark of the beast, then they will be executed. And so many, many Christians, those who responded and placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, many of them will be martyred and put to death. For those who are delivered, they enter into the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ. So Revelation 11, verses 3 through 6, we have the ministry of the two witnesses. And we just got started on that last time. I even had people come into my office and say, I didn't want you to stop. I wanted you to keep going. I said, well, good. Next week, I'll go for 3 hours. You are here the night we get to go for 3 hours. Be careful what you ask for, you know. Revelation 11, 3 through 6, the ministry of the two witnesses. We studied the first 2 points. Point one was 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years, also known, this tribulation period is known as Daniel's 70th week. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years, and God will have two witnesses who will serve as his communicators. Two, the judgments inflicted by the two witnesses are reminiscent of those judgments of Elijah and Moses. And we noticed 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, where Elijah had the power to stop the rain. We studied 2 Kings 1, verses 10 to 17, where Elijah had the power to have fire destroy those who tried to harm him. In Exodus 7:20, Moses had the power to turn the water into blood. In Exodus chapters 8 through 12, Moses had the power to bring on plagues. So, point two, the judgments inflicted by the two witnesses are reminiscent of those judgments of Elijah and Moses. Revelation 11, 3 through 6. So before we start point 3, let's take a look at Revelation 11, 3 through 6. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. Now you know that's 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, and yes, who's the ruler of planet earth? The Antichrist. He's a world dictator. And he will try every way possible to have these two witnesses killed. He will try every way possible. But God protects them. They're going to stay alive the entire 3.5 years till the end of the Great Tribulation. Then, when their ministry is over, then God will allow the Antichrist to kill Elijah and Moses. And we're going to see that. Well, they'll be dead. And the whole world will see it. And have a party. It will be a satanic party. They'll all have a party and be celebrating. They'll give gifts to each other. They're going to watch. And they won't even bury him. They said, no, don't bury him. Just let him lay there. And they lay there for 3.5 days. They lay there and everybody in the world sees it. Now, this couldn't happen until today. But now with your computers, iPads, iPhones, satellites, now people all over the world can see what's going on. And they'll all see Elijah and Moses dead. And there'll be a great celebration, and Satan and the Antichrist think that they've won the battle. And then after 3.5 days, God resurrects them. And that causes them to poop their pants right there. And then they watch them go up into heaven. But for 3.5 years, nobody can do anything to them. So these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have the power to shut up the sky. These are God's communicators, His servants. They have the power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time that they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So, point three. The ministry of the two witnesses. Point three. The two witnesses are described as olive trees and lampstands. Revelation 11, verse 4. To understand what this means, we need to turn over to Zechariah. So turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 4, first of all, verses 1 through 6. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as a man is wakened from his sleep. And he asked me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lights on it, with 7 channels to the lights. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it. One on the right of the bowl, and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? Now you see, the angel knows this, but he answered, no, my Lord, I replied. That's why I asked the question. That's the last he remembered after he said that. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 12. Again I asked him, what are these 2 olive branches beside the 2 gold pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. So he said, these are the 2 who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. The 2 witnesses, the 2 servants to serve the Lord of all the earth. All right. Now the 2 witnesses in the passage in Zechariah were Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the governor. Their connection to the lampstand was that they were empowered by God the Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the olive oil. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth." In a similar way, Elijah and Moses, the two witnesses of Revelation 11, will be empowered by God the Holy Spirit. So point four, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, will be able to do supernatural miracles in the last half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. So by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, will be able to do supernatural miracles in the last half, the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Five, Revelation 11:5 tells us that fire will destroy those who try to harm them. And the Antichrist will try to kill them again and again and again and again and never succeed. Not until their ministry of crisis evangelism is complete. When their ministry of crisis evangelism is complete, then God allows the Antichrist to kill these two witnesses. Six, they will have power to stop the rain, to turn the water into blood, and to bring on plagues. Supernatural miracles. And all of this is to get attention to people all over the world. And there will be those who are positive at God consciousness. And now they will listen to the grace gospel and have an opportunity for eternal salvation through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Seven, in the midst of the unbelief, apostasy, and satanic power of the great tribulation, these two witnesses will be a threat to the entire arrogant world for a literal period of 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So in the midst of this unbelief, apostasy, and satanic power of the great tribulation, these two witnesses will be a threat to the entire arrogant world for a literal period of 1,260 days, last 3.5 years, and a voice to proclaim the grace gospel to those who are positive at God consciousness. And when they hear the grace gospel, they place their faith in Jesus Christ. And there will be many, multitudes and multitudes who will place their faith in Christ. And they will refuse to take the mark of the beast. And they will be martyred for their faith. They will believe in Jesus Christ. They will refuse to worship the Antichrist. The Antichrist will set himself up in the temple that he's God, and you have to worship me as God. And they will refuse to do so because they will respond to the grace gospel of Elijah and Moses and the 144,000 super evangelists. They will believe in Christ as their Savior. They will refuse to take the mark of the beast, and they will be martyred. Most of them will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. But there will be that remnant that will survive, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will deliver at His second advent. And those believers only go into the millennial kingdom. Now, Revelation 11:7-10, the death of the two witnesses. Revelation 11:7-10, the death of the two witnesses. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss. Now this is Satan's right-hand man. Now you know Satan is a fallen angel. He's the temporary ruler of planet Earth right now. He's the one that rules this planet. He has a right-hand man called Abaddon. Look back at Revelation 9. Revelation 9, verse 11. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss. And what is the name of the angel of the abyss? This is a fallen angel, as is Satan, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. And this is Satan's right-hand man. His name means destruction. So verse 7. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss, this is Abaddon, will attack them and overpower and kill them. So now these two great witnesses, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are now killed by Abaddon. Their bodies, and by the way, Abaddon is the demon who indwells the Antichrist, the world ruler. So it's the Antichrist who kills them, but Abaddon is the one who indwells the Antichrist and motivates him to do so. So the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them, Elijah and Moses, and overpower them and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, every tribe, every language, every nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. They refuse to even bury them. The inhabitants of the earth will rejoice over their death and will celebrate by sending each other gifts. This is going to be their Christmas, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Well, it tormented the ones every time they tried to kill Elijah and Moses, the fire came out of their mouth. And they were a crispy critter right there in front of them. So, one, when their ministry is completed, God permits the Antichrist to kill them. When Elijah and Moses' ministry is completed, God permits the Antichrist to kill them. Two, now this Antichrist, or final world dictator, is mentioned 10 times in the book of Revelation. 10 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 11 verse 7, Revelation 13 1, Revelation 14 9, 14 11, Revelation 15 2, Revelation 16 2, Revelation 17, 3 and 13, Revelation 19, 20, Revelation 20, verse 10. So this Antichrist, or final world dictator, is mentioned 10 times in the book of Revelation. 3. Jerusalem is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt because of the people's degeneracy and rejection of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jerusalem is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt because of the people's degeneracy and rejection of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. 4. For 3.5 days, the whole world will gloat. rejoice over the fact that they are dead. For 3.5 days, the whole world will rejoice over the fact that they are dead. They will refuse to bury them, Revelation 11, verse 9. Their rejoicing isn't to plus H, it's minus H, pseudo-happiness. They celebrate, they give each other gifts, because the two witnesses, God's servants, are dead, Revelation 11, verse 10. 5. Revelation 11, 9 says, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their dead bodies. Men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their dead bodies. So 6, this implies some worldwide display, which is made possible today in the time in which we live, through satellites, through the internet, through computers, through iPads, through iPhones, through television. This is possible today. 7, the killing of the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, was considered a great victory for the Antichrist and was celebrated by people all over planet Earth, sending each other gifts. The killing of the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, was considered a great victory for the Antichrist, the world dictator of the last 3.5 years, and was celebrated by people all over planet Earth sending each other gifts. 8, this was a great satanic party. But it only lasted 3.5 days. Revelation 11:11-14. Revelation 11, verse 11. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Don't you just wish you could be there then? And they stood on their feet, and they said, ta-da! You'd shoot about a 10-foot flame out, you know, something like that. After 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified, but they gave glory to the God of heaven. There was a revival. There was a revival. Those who survived, they remember everything that these guys were saying. They remember the grace gospel. They heard it and heard it and heard it. And they gave glory to the God of heaven. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Crisis evangelism. The second woe was past. The third woe was coming soon. Third always follows second. You know that. 1. Suddenly, after 3 days of their dead bodies lying in the street and the world celebrating their death, the two witnesses were resurrected. They stood on their feet. So suddenly after 3 days of their dead bodies lying in the street and the world celebrating their death, the two witnesses were resurrected, stood on their feet. Two, they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on with surprise and great fear. They went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on with surprise and great fear. Three, at the same moment, an earthquake occurred in Jerusalem, with a tenth of the city destroyed and 7,000 people were killed. At the same moment, an earthquake occurred in Jerusalem, with a tenth of the city destroyed and 7,000 people were killed. Four, in contrast with many previous judgments where the people hated God even more afterwards than before, and many times through the tribulation when judgment came, the people hated God even more, hated Jesus Christ even more. But not here. Here the survivors gave glory to God. Here, they responded to Christ's evangelism and placed their faith in the living and true God, Jesus Christ. This ended the second woe, leaving only the seventh trumpet, the final and third woe to come. So Malachi stresses the unbearable judgment and purging that the day of the Lord will bring on all believers. So that was point three. Now we're going through the Old Testament scriptures looking at the day of the Lord. Point one was Joel's description of the day of the Lord. Point two was Obadiah's description of the day of the Lord. Point three is Malachi's description of the day of the Lord. Now that brings us to point four. Amos describes the day of the Lord. Amos describes the day of the Lord as a time of battles, natural disasters, and supernatural calamities. But he ends with the hope and the blessings of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So first of all, his description of the day of the Lord is a time of battles, natural disasters, and supernatural calamities. Start out at Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Amos 5, verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? The day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? Yes. But turn over to Amos 9, the hope and blessing of the millennial kingdom. Amos 9, starting at verse 13. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. This is super, super prosperity. And the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Point five is Zephaniah describes the day of the Lord, the horrors of the day of the Lord. Zephaniah. See, some of you have never even opened your Bible to Zephaniah. You got your pages stuck together. Zephaniah. Let's start out at Zephaniah 1, verses 2 and 3. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will have only heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Now turn to Zephaniah 1, verse 14. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. Listen, the city on the day of the Lord will be bitter. The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter. The shouting of the warrior there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their entrails like filth. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of His jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, for He will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth. Now turn over to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 6. I have cut off nations, their strongholds are demolished. I have left their streets deserted with no one passing through. Their cities are destroyed. No one will be left. No one at all. I said to the city, surely you will fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling would not be cut off, nor all my punishment come upon her. But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. Verse 8, therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations. This is the second advent of Jesus Christ. To gather the kingdoms and to pour out my wrath on them. All my fierce anger, the whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. The first part of that, there's two parts. First part of that, all unbelievers from planet Earth destroyed. They go to torments, incarcerated in prison there until the second resurrection when they face Jesus Christ at the great white throne. And then the second part is Jesus Christ establishing His kingdom on earth, delivering the remnant who responded to the two witnesses' crisis evangelism, who believed in Jesus Christ and survived being martyred as Christians, and they go into the millennial kingdom of great blessing for 1,000 years. You can see all throughout the Old Testament scriptures the day of the Lord in book after book after book. And by the way, I haven't gone through all the books that have the day of the Lord. You got to come back next week. I mean, we still have Isaiah and Zechariah to tell us about the day of the Lord with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness to us. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.